Well, we are fully into the pre-Passover season, or the Passover season almost. And I was thinking about the Passover itself and the days of unleavened bread as to the preparation for it. And I'll bet if we really thought about it, we actually prepare for the days of unleavened bread more than we do for the Passover. If you stop to think of the time that is involved. I was talking to a lady yesterday or the day before, and she was talking about friends in another church. She said, oh, my friends over there, they spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours in physical preparation just getting their house cleaned up. And I said, well, you know, probably as you think about it, the better use of time would be preparing for the Passover. When we go to the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 11, which we will shortly, we will see that you can take the Passover unworthily, but you can't take the Feast of Unleavened Bread unworthily. Now, I say take the Feast of Unleavened Bread, there's no such expression, but you know what I mean. And we do have to prepare properly for the days of unleavened bread because we have the scripture in 1 Corinthians 5 on what we do after the Passover, what we get rid of in our life after the Passover, or because we took the Passover, we need to be acting such and such a way. But we really need to, as we prepare for the Passover season, we call it, we need to make sure that we are preparing in priority, that we definitely are preparing to keep the Passover. I do know of a fellow that came to Passover services some time ago. So anyway, he came to the Passover and he apologized later because he had been smoking marijuana before the Passover. It was his first Passover. He was new in the church, brand new, but he should have felt bad and he did feel bad about it. So you can't be come to the Passover half lit, that's for sure. And he no doubt was at least one sheet to the wind, if not two. But it is important, very important, that we prepare properly. So I'll emphasize and get to that a little bit later, but I do want to go over the New Testament Passover, first of all, and then the Old Testament Passover, and then preparing for that Passover. Because within the instruction on both, and maybe even more so, the instruction in the Old Testament Passover, we will see why it's so important to prepare properly. When is the New Testament Passover? It's fairly simple if we don't get into too many scriptures. Sometimes if we go to too many scriptures, we can just get confused. And there are a lot of scriptures. There are actually 9 scriptures in the New Testament as to what happened on the Passover. In other words, you just go right down and you see this happened in the book of Matthew, this happened in the book of Mark, this happened in the book of Luke. And they all say the same thing in a chronological sequence. Then you go to Mark, same thing. All of these things happen. Then you go to Luke and you see all of these things happened. Every single one of them says the same thing. John is a little bit different because the majority of the time in the book of John is spent on about a 6-day period. And that's it, if you stop to think of the time spent. So John was emphasizing something a little bit differently than the others, not just the full life of Christ and all of the details, more of the details. John has the details of just the last 6 days. And of course, as we know, John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, all around the Passover, all those chapters. So he spends a lot of time on that. New Testament Passover, let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. Here we find in verse 17. Now in giving these instructions, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 17. In giving these instructions, I do not praise you. So these are instructions about a number of different things because he had just been giving instructions. hear about the covering of a man and a woman. And of course, there's no chapter break, so he's been giving instruction all along about a number of different things. Even back in chapter 10, he covers the Passover a little bit, talking about making sure that we are one bread, one body. That's covered in chapter 10. Now, in giving these instructions, so he's talking specifically as we carry on from this verse about the Passover. I do not praise you. Now, in verse 17, the subheading above verse 17, I have rebuke of disorders at the Lord's Supper, which always gets me, because in this section, Paul said, in coming together, it is not to keep the Lord's Supper. So I hope all of us have that highlighted. I do not praise you since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. And we'll come to that a little bit later. First of all, when you come together at church, I hear there are divisions among you. In part, I believe it. There must be factions among you that those who are approved of may be recognized among you. In other words, really, really bad attitudes or divisive attitudes or those attitudes that Paul was seeing in the bad apostles when he wrote 2 Corinthians, they can be seen, okay? The false apostles would be known. Verse 20, therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. So I hope all of us have that, and I hope all of us don't use that term. There's another term, by the way, that we use. Mr. Franks mentioned it some time ago, but he says, when people pass away, you know, that's not a term we use in the church, passing away. We don't pass anywhere. We don't pass from earth to heaven, in other words. But it's a term that you see that is used, and it's we die, and I know that seems to be a hard term, but better yet, you can say when we go to sleep before the resurrection. And that would be comforting, but we sure don't pass away. So we have to be careful the terms we use. But anyway, it is not the Lord's Supper. Verse 21, in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of the others. One is hungry, another is drunk. And then he says, don't you have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God? Now, verse 23. I receive from the Lord. He didn't receive this from the other apostles. He received this from the Lord. Now, I think this is really important. In fact, I know it's important because nothing that you read in the Bible is unimportant. Why would Paul say this? He was born out of season, so to speak, the apostle that came later. We know that Christ ascended to heaven in around 31 A.D. Some say 30 A.D., but I've looked that up and studied it carefully. 31 A.D. seems to be the time, but whatever the case, it was about 2 years later to 4 years later that Paul was struck down. And he said, I did not go to the apostles in Jerusalem. He said, I went to Arabia for 3 years. And then he saw only a couple of the apostles. And then it was 14 years later, either from that period or from the time that he was knocked down. You know, you wonder which it is. It's a 3-year gap and it doesn't matter. But second time then he went to Jerusalem. So there was a period of time of at least 11 years. That he absolutely, or, well, it was 11 to 14 years, we'll just put it that way, that he did not talk to the apostles except for maybe 10 days. I think that's what he said, about 10 days. And it would have been Peter, James, John at the most, you know, those, James, the Lord's brother. So, why is he saying, I received from the Lord? Well, the apostles agreed with him on all things when he did see them 14 years later. And the Passover was not a big issue at all. Basically, it was the issue of the Gentiles and them being accepted in the church and what he was preaching to the Gentiles. But he would have received instruction from Christ for sure based on what it said here concerning the Passover. Now, why would he bring that up? Well, because you might say the apostles had the Passover with Christ. They had it at a time, the only time they could have it, because he was going to die the next day. So normally when they would have eaten the Passover, they couldn't eat it then. And I'm talking about the way some Jews eat it. Now the Jews and the Sadducees ate it at a different time. That's historically a fact. You can go to their own historical references. So I give us attention to that point, because if the apostles were doing it not on the same night, but they then went back to supposedly what was being done before and ate it in the middle or later in the day on the Passover, then Paul comes along, he is instructed by Jesus Christ as to when the Passover is going to be given. That very, very important point. Because the Jews will want us to think that we're supposed to take it at a different time than we're taking it today. They really will. So I receive from the Lord, not from the apostles, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed. So now we find when he was betrayed. When the Passover was. And that is when he was betrayed. Passover was that night. When he had given thanks, okay, the same night that he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said. Now, why would he say the same night? Because, again, you come back to a problem that was extant at that time. Remember when Jesus Christ was crucified, the other Jews could not go into the praetorium because they hadn't taken the Passover yet, and they would have been unclean if they had gone into the praetorium. So they couldn't go in to that area. They would have been unclean. They hadn't taken the Passover yet. On the day Christ was crucified, Christ had already taken the Passover. So we have on the night that he was betrayed, which was before the Jews were taking the Passover. So this is when he actually took the Passover. And this is when Paul is telling them that they should take the Passover. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And this is a cup in verse 25. "Do this in remembrance of me." In other words, that's a memorial. The memorial is the Passover. Okay? The memorial is the Passover. You do this in remembrance of me. And we find, of course, that terminology in the Old Testament in Exodus 12. Do you do this as a memorial? The Passover is a feast, and the Passover is a memorial. And then in verse 26, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And then it goes on. We'll come back to this later on in the sermon. Don't have the stopwatch here on, but I can see a clock in the back, so know where we're at. Now, it's important to understand the night Christ was betrayed. John 13, let's go back to John, and we'll see during the foot washing period of time, right after, in fact, the story picks up. John 13, and starting out in verse 21. So after the foot washing, they come together, they're eating the Passover, and by the way, you can't find any lamb ever mentioned in the New Testament when it comes to Passover. It's not stated that there is a lamb ever. But the word Passover not only means Passover day, but also when you kill the Passover, meaning the lamb. So anytime they had the Passover, it was a Passover lamb. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Now remember, it's the night he's betrayed. They come together. They're eating. And then Christ washes their feet. And then he says, one of you will betray me. So you can kind of see what's going on now. The disciples looked at one another, perplexed. And by the way, Judas Iscariot had a demon. He had a demon, and they, the other 11, did not recognize it. And that's something only Christ knew, that he had chosen one with a demon who would be betraying him. The disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now, there was leaning on Jesus, John, of course. Doesn't say his name, but that's who it was. Simon Peter, therefore, motioned him to ask. Like any family, you know, you ask the one who you think won't get in trouble. You ask the littlest one in the family. Go to mom and dad and find out. That's what we did. I mentioned my brother always. We asked him to ask mom and dad for an ice cream cone. They never turned him down. Me, they turned down. Sharon, they turned down. But the little guys got away with it. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him and said, ask. So leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said, Lord, who is it? And Jesus said, it is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread at the meal. Okay, there's a meal there. When I have dipped it. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. He already had the opening. There was a demon there already. So Satan entered. Then Jesus said, what you do, do quickly. Telling Satan that. If you get the point here. He's not really telling Judas Iscariot. Satan enters him and he's telling Satan to betray him, to actually bruise his heel. Remember in Genesis, the prophecy. So he's actually talking to Satan, who is now he's not demon possessed, he's Satan possessed. There's a difference here. No one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. Some thought, now here it's very important, verses 29 and 30. Some thought because Judas had the money box that Jesus had said to him, buy those things we need for the feast. Now the Passover is a feast, but they were already taking the Passover. They already had feast for, or the food for that feast, didn't they? So what we get out of this is there is also a feast coming up. And that is, of course, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Buy what you need for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, this also proves that they weren't on the day of the unleavened bread. They were not keeping the first day of unleavened bread. Here you have night has come. It is not the first day of unleavened bread because they're not going to go out and buy anything. It's a high day. But they would on Passover because you can buy and sell on the Passover day. Go and buy. This is what they thought he was going to do. Go and buy something for the feast. Or he should give something to the poor. They didn't know what he was going to do. Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. Now, Paul said that the night on which Christ was betrayed is when the Passover was, that night. And that's very important to understand. And it was not a Sabbath. That night was not a Sabbath because the Jews think that the Passover was killed at the end on the 14th and then it was eaten on the 15th. That's what the Jews believe. Well, some, because they disagree when you go to the records. The old saying is, if you have two Jews, you have three opinions. Okay? So that's kind of the way it is. And it was night. And it is important because God tells us the details there. Now, from there on out, okay, and I'm going to give you just a summary here, but John 14 through 19, for sure, and maybe into verse chapter 20, you have the instruction. So we come past John 13. We have instruction at night before he goes out into the garden. You have the arrest in the garden, the final betrayal. So Judas Iscariot takes off, walks down. This is night already. The meal is virtually over. Okay. He walks down and is gathering all the enemies of Jesus Christ, knows where Christ is going to be because for 3 days, I believe, since the 10th is what I think it is. They always took the lamb on the 10th. And I really think Christ came into Jerusalem. If you look at the chronological sequence there, you see Christ coming into Jerusalem on the donkey. And then for 3 nights straight, he goes to the garden. So Judas Iscariot was pretty sure where they were going to go. He may have even said to Christ or to John, could you find out where we're going, where Christ is going to go tonight, to make sure they went to the right place? So you have the instruction, you have the arrest, you have the trial that goes on through the night, you have the scourging, and you have the crucifixion, all in that period of time on that day, starting at night to about 3 p.m. At this time of the year, do you know what time sunset hits in that area of the world? Sunset in Egypt is at 6:08, and sunrise is at 6:02. That was yesterday. So basically, it's interesting you have a 6 to 6 period. It's a little different than the United States, although maybe the same if we had not have daylight saving time. But anyway, that's when it was. So basically, they would have started sometime after 6. Within the next 15, 18 hours, Jesus Christ is crucified. Maybe you could even say 21 hours from the time of the sunset starting the 14th. Okay, so we finished John 19, 30-31. Passover, or no, I'm sorry, we go there. We haven't gotten to John 19. So let's see what happened then. We come to the crucifixion, and now we come to his death on the stake. Let's back up to verse 28 here. John 19 and verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there. They filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, put it in his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And some say that expression, by the way, is the same expression that you would find at the end of Psalm 22. It is finished. And you can go back and read that. But it looks like it's not Hebrew, of course. It is Aramaic. But it seems to be the same essence, that it's finished. Bowing his head, he died. He gave up his spirit. Therefore, because it was the preparation day. Now, in the world, of course, they think it's Friday, and it's not. We know that Passover was always the preparation day for the first day of unleavened bread. That's also very important. Passover was a preparation day for the first day of unleavened bread. That the body should not remain on the cross, the staros, the stake, on the Sabbath. For that Sabbath was a high day. The Sabbath is a high day. So you have then a preparation day preparing for the first day of unleavened bread. Jesus Christ took the Passover, beginning that preparation day, which is the 14th. And throughout the day, then, you have a preparation day. The Jews always used it preparing for the high day. They actually cleaned out their leaven on that day. The Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. In other words, if they hadn't died yet, we're going to quicken their death so they die. Nobody is going to be on any stake when the high day comes, okay? So it's evident then that Jesus Christ, whatever the Old Testament says, it's evident that Jesus Christ was taking the Passover, beginning the 14th, and then during the day, in the afternoon, He was crucified on the 14th. And then he was in the grave, probably right at, if it were 6:08, sunset, I think God is pretty detailed. And I think he put him right in the grave, Joseph of Arimathea, put him in the grave at sunset at the end of the 14th. We'll come to that word sunset too. Okay, in summary then, we have Passover instruction from Paul, who didn't learn from the other apostles. So whatever instruction it was going to be, if the apostles thought there was a change, that it was just temporary of what Christ did, and we should follow the rest of the Jews, Paul confirmed that that's the way it was. The same time that Christ did it is what we should follow. Passover eaten at night, Christ crucified over 15, 16, 17, 21 hours later. After the Passover was eaten, but on the Passover day. The Passover is a preparation day for the first day of unleavened bread, which is a high day. Okay, so we have all of that down. Now, let's go to the Old Testament Passover. Leviticus 23, 4 through 6. Leviticus 23, 4 through 6. Okay, starting out in verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. On the 14th of the first day at twilight. And I want you all to remember that word, at twilight. Is the Lord's Passover. So that's exactly when it is. In other words, there is a specific time that the Passover was kept, and it was kept at twilight. Is the Lord's Passover. On the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So Passover must be at twilight on the 14th. Then on the 15th of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you eat unleavened bread. The word in Hebrew is shall. You shall eat unleavened bread. Okay, so that tells us then 14th Passover, 15th Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now if you go to the scriptures, there's 11 scriptures that I could actually send to you, probably should, as a follow-up if you'd like these. I thought I've handed these out in the past, but there's 11 scriptures which talk about the Passover, and they're all on the 14th. The Passover is never on the 15th, ever. No part of the Passover is ever on the 15th. Exodus 12, keep it on the 14th. Leviticus 23, we just read it, at twilight. Numbers 9 and verse 3, on the 14th at twilight. Numbers 9 and verse 3. Numbers 9 and verse 5, 14th, first month, twilight. Numbers 9, 5. Numbers 9 and verse 11, 14th of the second month, this would be the second Passover, at twilight. Numbers 28, 16, 17, 14th day, is the Passover. On the 15th is the feast. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. I think we should just take and pause here a moment and go to Numbers 28 because the translation is correct there. And I say the translation is correct because if you go to any of these sites, like Blue Letter is the one I use, and you go to these sites, you'll find that they had to put fill-in words there. Sometimes articles are missing. Sometimes it needs to be a prepositional phrase to get the point across. Some say that we are against paraphrasing, but you find paraphrasing in every single translation. It's impossible not to paraphrase. Because if you just went to the Hebrew, as we'll see, you're going to have words and you have to put some sense to it. And you put sense to it based on what is stated in many, many areas. But Numbers 28 and verse 16. On the 14th day of the first month, this is Numbers 28, verse 16. 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. Verse 17. And on the 15th day of this month is the feast. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. Okay, so that's one scripture that nails it. There are some others that are questionable. And that's where a little bit here, a little bit there, you have to go. And by the way, for about 20 years in worldwide Church of God, we taught from about 1974 to 1994 that the Passover in the Old Testament was at the end of the day. It was about 20-year period. I don't know if you remember that. I remember the two authors. I still have the paper on it. When I read it, it seemed plausible, but then went back. So anyway, Joshua 5:10, this is when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt. They kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight. Twilight. 2 Chronicles 30:15, so you don't have time necessarily to turn to all of these unless you have a fast hand. They slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the second month. 2 Chronicles 35:1, Josiah kept a Passover, and this is 2 Chronicles 35:1. Josiah slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the first month. Ezra 6:19, descendants kept it on the 14th of the first month. Now we will turn to Ezekiel 45:21, because of all of the scriptures, there's only one which seems to indicate that the Passover and unleavened bread are the same, that the Passover is 7 days long. And again, that's in Ezekiel chapter 45 and verse 21. So here's what it says. In the first month, Ezekiel 45:21, on the 14th day of the month, you shall observe the Passover, a feast of 7 days. Unleavened bread shall be eaten. And now, with the web, you can find a lot of translations, a whole bunch of them. And most will just say the Passover, a feast of 7 days. But some of them will not say that. You will find a couple that will say that there's a difference here. You have the Passover, verse 21. Here we go. First month, on the 14th day of the month, you shall observe the Passover. Period. That's just period. Then, a feast of 7 days of unleavened bread shall be eaten will follow. Okay? So that's the only one. Now, if you go to the literal on this, here's what it actually says if you go to the Hebrew. These are the words. First, 14th day, month, Passover, feast, 7 days, matzah, eaten. Now, how do you figure that one out? You go to the other scriptures to find out, is there a break in there? Is it Passover and then the days of unleavened bread? Well, we've already found scriptures which tell you 14th and then is the Passover, 15th is the first day of unleavened bread. So you let the Bible translate the Bible. Now, Leviticus 23:5, it tells us when it's to be kept. Leviticus 23:5. And it tells us that it's at twilight. Okay. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 5. Coming back to it here. Now I'm going to it so you can center on it, so you can underline it or whatever you want to do. It says, on the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Passover. When is it? At twilight. Now, when is twilight? When is twilight? Now, it's interesting. I looked up some of our terminology that we have using day periods, and I'll just kind of give you a few here. We have dawn, and we have dusk. Did you know there's a twilight period in the morning time, and there's a twilight period in the evening time? It's twilight. But also we have the term dawn and dusk. Then we have a term for morning, and then we have a term for noon, which is noon, and then we have afternoon, okay? Then we have sunset. And then we have a term night. We also have a term dusk, which is twilight, a twilight period. Actually, there are three twilight periods. If you want to look it up, there's three periods of twilight. Most of it, I didn't know that till last night. I thought twilight was only one period. But if you want to get technical, and I guarantee you the Hebrew gets technical. So there's twilight. Then there's evening. We have that. There's nightfall. And there's midnight. Now we use all those terms. We do. Actually, there's a whole bunch of other terms that if you're from the South, you probably use too. Can't let a sermon go by with picking on Southerners. Or other parts of the country, you know. There's just a whole bunch of them. I think I saw 20 terms just for the evening period of time in itself. So, when is twilight? Well, Exodus 16 and verse 12. Let's go there. Exodus 16 and verse 12. The term is Bain Ha'arba'in. Now, just like we have the term dusk, and then we have the term twilight, or we have the word, better yet, evening, and we have the term twilight. They sound different, don't they? If I say evening, that doesn't sound like twilight at all, but it's that period of time, we know. In the same way, the word evening in Hebrew sounds nothing like twilight. Nothing at all. Evening is erev, E-R-E-V or E-R-E-B. But this term here, twilight, which is at that period of time, evening, is Bain Ha Arbein. Okay, that's B-E-Y-N, H-A, A-R-B-A-Y-I-M. It's a period of time. It's a period of time. It's actually a period of time, that is not the same as, say, evening. Because, of course, they're different. So I'm going to read you here just to show you what we've got going here. Exodus 16 and verse 12. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel speaking to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So when would you be, you shall eat meat? If you did it at sunset, sunset we know is 6:08. Okay, so you've got how much time at sunset? You've got 30 seconds to get down your food. Twilight is about an hour and 20, depending on where you're at. Up north, twilight is a much longer period of time. But twilight, you've got a period of time where you can actually sit down and eat. You know, you don't have to stuff it down. So at twilight, you shall eat meat. That's Bain Ha'arba'in. Now that's when you eat the Passover at twilight. Right? That's what it says. You eat it at twilight. It didn't say sunset. If it would have said sunset, it would have said Ba Arev. Meaning sunset. And then we all know sunset time is dot, dot, dot. So at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Now to eat meat, you have to have the quail coming, don't you? When are the quail going to come? What time of day are the quail going to come? You can eat it at twilight. Verse 13. So it was that quails came up at evening. Now, when was that? That's Ba'arev. B-A apostrophe E-R-E-V or E-R-E-B. Okay? Very important here. Now, I really use this as a key because this tells you the quail come up, they're going to come up at sunset. And they're going to be eaten at twilight. That's very, very important. Now, what is this word? Ba'arev. Okay? Ba'arev. I'll go to another word that we have that is like it. It's actually, Ba'arev is sunset, and it's hard to find in the Bible. In fact, if you look up Ba'arev in most of your websites, it's going to just say Arev, E-R-E-V. It's not going to say Ba'arev, but if you go to a Masoretic text where you actually have the Hebrew printed out, and you can tell exactly what it is, Exodus 12:18, for example, that we're going to go to, uses Ba'arev, and the term is not evening. It is sunset. It is sunset. Just let you know that, because we're going to come to it in a few moments. So you have Ba'arev in Exodus 12:18. In Genesis 1 and verse 5, you have the term Arev. So let me come back and explain. E-R-E-V means a night period. About 12 hours. E-R-E-V is a night period of about 12 hours. Ba'arev is the very beginning of that dark period. That's called sunset. The very beginning. And that is very, very important. So we'll come to that later, but Ba'arev is when the quail came. They didn't come Arev all night long for the whole 12-hour period. They came Ba'arev. And then twilight, they had about an hour and 20 minutes to eat. It's a lot of eating. They didn't have to eat the meat raw. They had time to cook it. They did. Okay, so Passover is to be eaten, killed slash eaten, during a period of time, and that period begins at sunset. Okay, so we're going to go to Exodus 12 down. Just go right down the line, Exodus 12. And see what we have here. Verse 3, on the 10th day you take the lamb. Exodus 12 and verse 3. Verse 6, keep it until the 14th day of the same month, until the 14th day, same month, then the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it at twilight. Bein Ha'arbein. Right after sunset. That's when it's killed. Right after sunset, there's about an hour and 20 minute period of time when this is done. The whole assembly shall kill it at twilight. So you have the night period starting already. The same night that Jesus Christ took the Passover would be that same period of time. He would have taken the Passover at twilight. Okay? So if sunset was at 6, then they would have killed, and immediately upon being cooked, whenever that was, of course they're going to be staying in their house, that would be from 6 to 7:30, let's say. And that would be no doubt killing and roasting it at that time. And then in verse 8, eat the flesh on that night. Okay, we eat the flesh on that night. And then in verse 10, you shall let none of it remain until boger, morning. So you have a morning here. You start in the evening there or at sun, twilight time, sunset, then twilight time. And you eat it, and you let none remain until morning. Now, the word boger is used in Ruth, where she got up early in the morning, but boger is always, if you look that word up in the Bible, You see, it's what we would call a dusk twilight period in the morning, dawn. Okay, at dawn, you have the sun hasn't risen yet, but you do have a twilight period at dawn. Can you start shooting your deer? At when? Does sun have to be totally up, or can you do it half hour, I think, before sunset, can't you? First shot goes off, I believe. Just don't shoot brush. I know of people who shot brush thinking it was a deer. And so anyway. Okay, so you got morning there coming. Morning is going to come. And what remains of it until morning burn with fire. Now, let's go over to verse 21 and 22 here. Verse 22 says, none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. So they have to stay in their house all night long. Why? Sometime during that period of time, there's a death angel coming, and you've got to be in your house because you're going to put blood on the doorposts, and you have to be in the house. You can't go out of the house. The messengers of Egypt came to tell Moses to come, but Moses would not have even gone out of his house at night. There's nothing in the Bible that says Moses left. He knew the instruction. He wasn't going to leave his house at night. They couldn't come out until morning. And then in verse 11, belt on your waist, sandals on your feet. Now, why is that? Well, there are symbols in the Bible, and we come to services, and we come dressed properly. We symbolically dress properly to honor God. There are symbols that we use. That's the only thing I can make of this one, because they couldn't leave that night. Have you ever gotten dressed at night really, really ready and got into your hunting clothes and ready to get up in the morning to go hunting so you don't waste any time? I haven't. But almost. Eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For now, verse 12, I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn on that night. So somewhere during the dark period. Doesn't say when it happened. It could be 12 midnight that it happened. Sometime during the night that it happened. And you don't want to be outside. And verse 14, this day shall be to you a memorial. You shall keep it as a feast unto the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Remember the do this in remembrance of me. Paul said concerning the Passover in 1 Corinthians 11, do this in remembrance of me. It's a memorial. You remember this period of time as an everlasting ordinance. Do it as a memorial. And you shall keep it as a feast. The Passover is a feast. How many days do we have during the Feast of Tabernacles? So seven. The seven feast days. How many holy days do we have during the Feast of Tabernacles? Well, it's one. And then the last great day, of course, is the other. So there can be a six days of a seven-day feast that are not holy days. Okay. The Passover is a feast, but it's not a holy day. You shall keep it as a feast. Now, verse 15, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses for whoever or you shall have removed. Now, again, you have to get into the parsing of Hebrew words. So by the time the first day starts, you will have removed. And again, you can go to parsing and I could just load you down with the complexities of the Hebrew. You thought English class was tough? The Hebrew is worse, especially when you read Hebrew and there's nothing in between. You have stuff and you go, where does the next word start? Where does the last word leave off? You have to grow up with it. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off. So verse 15, on the first day. Verse 16, on the first day. Verse 17, on this same day, I will have brought your armies out of Egypt. Okay? On the same day. That's when, of course, when we keep it later on, you're looking back. But that's the day that it happens. I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Now, here's where we come into verse 18. And we come in back to this word, Ba'areb. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening. Now, what is this word? It is Ba'areb. Now, if I go and look up Hebrew words, Strong's Concordance words, I forget what it is, 6130 maybe might be the word. You top into that, and it's Areb, 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 Areb. It's just continually Areb, Areb, Areb. It's not Ba'areb. It's the same word used in Genesis 1 and verse 5. But it's not. You have to go to the actual Hebrew, because what we have when we go into a website is just very general. It doesn't get into all these specific details. So I printed it out myself. I found what it is, and it is definitely Ba'areb. Now, if you look at a general research site or engine, you know, you see a rev for Exodus 12:18 and a rev for Genesis 1:5, and it's the same. So Genesis 1:5 is a rev, and it's the whole night period, but it's not the same in Exodus 12:18. It is Ba'areb. Don't trust me. You go find it, okay? It's very important. So now, what is that word sunset? Now, let me mention something here. When it comes to sunset, what word can we liken it to in English? And the answer is midnight. Okay, sunset begins the day in the church, okay? Sunset begins the time of a new day. In the world, midnight begins the time of a new day. Now, let me ask you the question here. Is midnight the end of a day or the beginning of a day? The answer? When someone refers to midnight tonight or midnight last night, the reference of the time is obvious. However, if a date slash time is referred to is at midnight on Friday, October 20th, guess what? It's either. So if I say at midnight on March 14th, 2015, at midnight, today's the 14th, right? March 14th, is it tonight or last night? Sunset begins the day, sunset ends the day. That's very important when it comes to midnight, okay? We understand that, midnight, don't we? We understand it. Now, where you grew up, midnight may have always meant, no matter when you said it, midnight may have always meant the one coming up. But that's not the way it's used. Midnight. It's just midnight. You have to know by context when it is. Now, sunset is exactly the same time. Barev, ba, a rev is either the beginning of a day or the ending of a day. And that is very important in the Hebrew to know. Otherwise, when you come to a subject like this, you just don't know when it's referring to. You can say, well, no, Ba'areb is always the beginning. That would be wrong. No, Ba'areb can be the beginning or the end. And that's what we have in Exodus 12 and verse 18. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening you shall eat unleavened bread. By context, you know the Passover was the 14th. It's a preparation day. And what are you doing? You're keeping the Passover. 7 days you keep unleavened bread. So at evening you shall eat unleavened bread, Ba'arev, That's at the end of the 14th, the sunset at the end of the 14th. You shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening, the end of the 21st, the sunset, the end. It's the only thing you'd be talking about. Now, in all of this, actually, we don't look at the historical keeping of the Passover and days of unleavened bread as much as we do the time Christ kept it. So what I gave you in the beginning is the sequence that we follow, which is very clear. Now, there's the not to be much observed. I don't have time to go into that today. But I will end with going to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. And here we find, and we have another week to follow up on preparation for the Passover, so I will get into more of the detail on the spiritual preparation for the Passover next week. But here we find, immediately after 1 Corinthians 11, where it tells us to examine ourselves in verse 28 of chapter 11, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Whoever eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. 1 Corinthians 12 is not there by chance. The information in it basically is a really good preparation spiritually for keeping the Passover. It's telling us that, look, this is the attitude that we must have. This is what God is doing. He's preparing a body. So when we go through this, we see that there's diversities of gifts. We're all different. Differences of ministries. This is in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 12. The manifestation, verse 7, of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And then you have knowledge, verse 8, faith, verse 9, healings, verse 10, you have working of miracles, and you have prophecy and discerning of spirits that we have. So we all have different gifts, every single one of us in the body. And what it comes to now is how we act when it comes to keeping the Passover, and I would recommend strongly that we all go through 1 Corinthians 12 this next week in preparation for the Passover. If you want to start cleaning your houses, that's fine too, of course. If you want to start finding out where all the leaven is that your children have scattered around the house, younger children, not older children, and not children not born yet. We don't worry about them. But you understand what I mean. When you have small children, you might want to look a little bit more. We're concerned about not eating leavened bread during the Passover, right? So we want to make sure that we don't eat leavened bread. So that's what you clean. What you know might be there that you just could grab and eat. Actually, if I did find a stale sandwich in my house, I wouldn't eat it. And if I did find a stale sandwich, I would think that I am getting dementia. What did I do? Why did I leave a sandwich there? Well, I've been known to, you know, put stuff up on a shelf. Forget what I was looking for that Marion found, because I lost it completely and totally. But I was screwing something in the ceiling, and I couldn't find the drill. It was a drill. I left the drill up there. And I said, I've looked everywhere. It's not here. And Marion said, let me look. Well, you can. You're not going to find anything. Why do the women always prove you wrong? They find it. And God said, I will give you a help. Definitely. But we go through this and we see the attitude then that we must have if we're going to keep the Passover. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 13, all the way down to verse 31. And then it says, desire the best gifts, which is the love, the agape love of God. And then you can go there, 1 Corinthians 13. So this is the best preparation for the Passover, chapter 12 and 13, plus other scriptures that I'll give you next week, God willing. So I hope that helps. A little bit here. I know it's easy to get confused. I get mixed up on it sometimes. I know that there were three classes spent on the Passover at the out in Allen, Texas this year, or last year I think it was, 2014, on the fundamentals of belief. Three full, basically 2.5 hours I think were spent on just going over when the Passover is. The important thing, you know, we talked about importance of giving a good, proper offering. The important thing is to follow Christ's example, not only in the day he kept, but to follow his attitude in what he displayed is needed for us serving in the world tomorrow. So I hopefully we all keep that in perspective. Thank you for listening, and we will, God willing, see you next week.